Look at chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians, and I want to draw your attention to verse 5. Right? Verse 5 here says, "Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness." Now, what is the emphasis here when Paul tells us that we are all children of light? Now, here the emphasis is on knowledge. Now, earlier on today, we saw how we are all children of light and how we must walk our talk with regard to our behavior and our conduct. Now, the emphasis here on us being children of light has to do with knowledge. Now, Christianity is not an ignorant faith or religion. Christianity is a very, very intelligent faith and religion based upon the book, this good book, which is full of knowledge and wisdom, the wisdom of God. And, you know, when you study the Bible, you're really studying the highest of all sciences, all knowledge, even higher than what you would study in the university. Because you're not only studying things about life here on earth, you're going to study about things concerning heaven, of life eternal, spiritual things that no university textbook can tell you or teach you. How many of you here are university students? I have a show of hands. Right? You study a lot of books, a lot of subjects, a lot of sciences, biology, chemistry, physics, economics, history, geography, all these subjects, well, they are good. The knowledge you gain will fit you for life here on earth. But what subject, what course or topic or science will teach you how to live in heaven, how to go to heaven and live in heaven and make sure you live forever? Well, none of the sciences that are taught in the university will teach you all this. And all the knowledge you gain right now is only temporary. One day it will all be useless and all be redundant and obsolete, because this world in which we live in, we know, will all be destroyed by fire. And all the knowledge you gain about this world, the geography, the history, the biology, the chemistry and physics, all will also disappear, will become useless. But the knowledge you gain from the scriptures will last for eternity. You'll never lose it. It's always useful. It's the highest of all sciences. And that's why it's good for you. That's why we have to redeem the time. Buy up whatever time we have. The days are evil. The days are coming to an end. What you need to know is eternal knowledge, the knowledge of God, theology, the study of the scriptures that will grant you the wisdom to live your life successfully here on earth, and also ensure that you have this knowledge that would secure your life forevermore with God in heaven. So you have to pay very, very close attention to what God has to say here. And here, as children of light, we better be filled with this wisdom from God, the light of God's truth and wisdom that comes from His Word, to know the truth. Now, how do we know here that as children of light, we must be knowledgeable and intelligent people, super intelligent in the things of God? Well, we know it's all about knowledge here, because in the context, look at verse 1 and 2, it says here, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, believers, brothers and sisters in Christ, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly." You know It has to do with knowledge, and you ought to know this perfectly. You should have this mature knowledge of the doctrines of the Lord Jesus Christ and of His Word. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Don't be ignorant of the second coming of Christ. It is one event that we all look forward to. The coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the bridegroom, and we are the bride, the church, and He's coming for His bride, and there'll be a great wedding day in heaven, and there'll be a great wedding supper of the Lamb that all of us will participate. Aren't you looking forward to this? Do you know about the second coming of Christ? Do you know the doctrine of the second coming of Christ? Do you know the eschatological timetable, the events that will happen in the last days, and where are we right now? And how we should live our life here on earth. Do you know this? Well, you need to have this kind of a perfect knowledge on this doctrine. And over here in 1 Thessalonians, that's to do with the second coming of Christ. And there are many, many other doctrines that you ought to know too. In the Far Eastern Bible College, just systematic theology, the study of the fundamental doctrines of the Christian faith in systematic theology, which is taught in four parts, theology proper, and then anthropology, soteriology, eschatology, requires 2 years of studies, and it takes about 120 lecture hours to just complete the basics of the Christian faith at a foundational level. We're not talking about going really deep into the subjects and the topics, even just the foundational level. 120 lecture hours, and then the last part on eschatology, on the second coming of Christ, on the last days, 30 lecture hours. I don't expect you to know perfectly. Right now, we only have about half an hour. So I hope you will take time, redeem the time, if you can, study, read, and, you know, if you have the time, come and study in FEBC and get that knowledge and grow in that knowledge. Know more and more of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our being students of God's Word will never end. Right? We never graduate from the University of God. We're always students. And so here, as children of light, and with the Holy Spirit in our hearts, and knowing the Scriptures, we are not ignorant people. We are not in darkness. We are not so uncertain, we can tell how near the coming of the Lord is, the second coming. We, of course, do not know and can never know the exact time, the day, right, the hour. No one knows. Only God in heaven, only the Lord Jesus knows. When it's time to come, He will come. And He chose not to reveal to us the time because He wants us always to be on our toes. It's coming, it can be at any moment. And so we must always be ready for His coming. And we know His coming is like a thief in the night. And the thief, when he comes unexpectedly, when you least expect it, right? The thief, when he wants to break into your house, will not send you a card first. I'm coming today, right? At what time? And so on. And where? And what I'm after. He will not tell you. Come when you are sleeping, you least expect it, or you're on holiday, you'll break in and steal your things. So the Lord's coming will also be like this, very sudden. When the world least expects Him to come, and we say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh unto them, upon them. Verse 3, for when they shall say, it's not we, it's they, it's those in the world. We should know, we have knowledge, we know how near it is, we are ready, right? We should know time is about up, and we should have lighted our lamps already with all and spare all, so that when the Lord comes, we are prepared and ready. But the world, the people out there, well, when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with a child. When the pregnant woman, the child can, the baby can come at any moment. cannot predict the precise time, right? The baby would be delivered. When it comes, it can come, you know, a week or two earlier, it can come 1 or 2 weeks later. So it's very hard to predict. No gynecologist can predict precisely and guarantee you, right, the day and the hour. No one can do that. And similarly, the Lord, when He comes, He will come like this, like the thief in the night, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, you Christians, are children of light. You are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. And that day, what is that day over here? Well, that day, in the light of the context, is the rapture. The rapture, the catching up of the saints to heaven, that is taught and found in chapter 4, right? Chapter before this, you look at chapter 4, verse 13 to 18. It says here, but I would not have you to be ignorant. So don't be ignorant, be knowledgeable, right? Know this important doctrine of the scriptures. It's one of the doctrines of the second coming of Christ, the doctrine of the rapture. And here Paul says, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, those who have already died in the Lord. Right? The word asleep here means death. Christians who have died already and are buried, and they are described as sleeping, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and that is the gospel, you believe in the gospel, you believe in the gospel life, that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep have passed away, believing in Jesus, will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or go before, precede them which are asleep. They've already gone before, right? For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump or the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So suddenly, in a twinkling of an eye, you are there in heaven, in the clouds, seeing Jesus face to face. And this is something that, this is our blessed and glorious hope. And this is something that is comforting. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. And then chapter 5, Paul went on to elaborate how we must be ready. Don't be ignorant, be knowledgeable about the second coming of Christ. Know the eschatological timetable, because it is the rapture that will get everything going. And what is this that must happen? It is God's wrath that must be poured upon this earth, this wicked and sinful world that is full of hatred and rebellion against God. There will be this day of judgment called the Great Tribulation. It will last for 7 years, and it is the rapture that will begin, right? That will get it all started. God will pour down His wrath. But before He pours down His wrath upon the earth, the church must be removed, caught up, because we are no longer under judgment. We have all been saved already from our sins. God is not our judge, God is our Heavenly Father. Before He destroys this world, and before He judges the sinners and the Antichrist and those who hate Him here on earth, well, His saints, His children of light, must all be caught up. Be removed from this earth. And we know this from verse 9. It says here, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. And this word wrath here is used to describe the great tribulation period of 7 years, right, which will come in the future. I believe it will come very soon. And we know that the great tribulation is a time of God's wrath, the beginning, the middle, and the end. And we know that the Great Tribulation, if you have studied about the second coming of Christ. The Great Tribulation is divided into two parts, right? There are two halves of 3.5 years each. And the whole period, the beginning, the middle, and the end, is described as a time of God's wrath. And we know this from the book of Revelation. Turn to Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6. So, have the light of His truth. This is His truth. Know His truth, which will comfort and encourage your heart to live for the Lord. And this one truth you ought to understand. And the book of Revelation describes the 7-year great tribulation and the beginning of the tribulation, which is found in chapter 6, Revelation chapter 6, verse 17. It is called, right, the time of God's wrath. Look at Revelation 6, verse 17. It says here, for the great day of His wrath, same word used in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9, the great day of His wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? God's going to pour down His wrath. This is at the beginning of the tribulation. Then in the middle of the tribulation, at the 3.5 year point, also it is said to be a time of God's wrath. Turn to Revelation chapter 11, verse 18. Revelation 11, verse 18 says here, and the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come. Nations are angry, angry with God. And thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets and the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. Right? So thy wrath is come. And that's in the middle of the great tribulation. And then at the end of the tribulation, at the end of the 7 years, again, it is described as a day of wrath. Turn to Revelation chapter 16. Verse 19, here we read, and the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of His wrath. Right? So have this knowledge. There will be a great tribulation period of 7 years. God is going to pour out His wrath on the earth. Where will Christians be? We will be raptured. A sudden catching up of the saints. We will not be here. We will be up there before God judges His will. Right? Because we are not under His wrath, we are already saved, forgiven of our sins, His children, and God will deliver us. Just like He delivered Noah and his family before the flood came, all were saved in the ark. Then destruction came. So likewise, we will be caught up to be with the Lord Jesus before destruction comes on this earth. So take note. So this is one thing we must know. And this knowledge, which is light, gives us, you know, will guide us and teach us, and will teach us how we should live our life here on earth. And we should live our life with great what? Urgency. There's no time to waste. It will teach us to live our lives vigilantly. Always be alert and awake. And that's why in verse 6 we are told over here, so you are not children of darkness, you are children of light, so you must live as children of light. Therefore, verse 6 says, therefore let us not sleep, don't sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. So we, if we are children of light, and we have the knowledge that Jesus Christ is coming back very soon, and seeing the signs of the times, and you know what are the signs of the times, don't you? Just go through the list in Matthew chapter 24, which tells us, which gives us all the signs that will happen before Jesus returns. And we see all the signs happening today. Wars and rumors of wars. Famines, earthquakes, pestilences. Strange and terrible diseases, right, popping up practically every year. We find of a strange, right, disease and a deadly disease. And nowadays, you know, the germs and the bugs are so powerful. Even antibiotics and flu jabs are ineffective. So we are facing a really terrible crisis, world crisis today. And then there'll be false Christ, false prophets. The love of many will wax cold. And so many things happening. And now today we see this, the sign of the nation of Israel back in the promised land. After 1,900 years of scattering and dispersion, God says, I will regather you back into the land, and you will stay there for good. And then, you know, Israel must be back in the land before Jesus comes back, because he will come back for his people to deliver his chosen nation and make Israel great. And he, the Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest son of David, must sit on the throne of his father David and rule Jerusalem, rule Israel, and rule the whole world for 1,000 years. Israel must be back in the land before that can happen, before Christ can return. And Israel is already back in the land since 1948. So how near is the coming of Christ? The stage is already set. Set also for the Antichrist to enter into the scene. We know that there will be an Antichrist, the last world dictator, who will try to make himself God and seek worship from the whole world. He will persecute Israel. And then, you know, everyone must receive his mark to buy and sell, the mark of the beast, 666. The whole world will receive his mark. And can that happen today? Very possible with computer technology. And today, you know, we are becoming more and more of a cashless society. People are moving away from cash. I remember when I was in primary school, and they teach us how to save money, right? And then we are given a POSB card or bank book, and we are taught to save money. How do you save money? Well, you know, you can buy stamps. No stamps, postage stamps, 5 cents or 10 cents. And then when you buy, you paste it on the card, and then once you have completed $2 worth or $5, you bring it to the POSB, and then it's credited into your bank account. And you know, that's how they teach little children to save their pocket money. And have you done this before? Is this taught done in school today? No, teach you how to spend money. Well, that was so long ago. That was back in 1970. Were you born back? Were you born yet at the time? Well, in those days, we were taught, right, to save money, buying stamps, sticking into this card, and then depositing it in the post office bank. But today, well, everything is all like through the wire, telegraphic transfer, internet banking, becoming more and more cashless. We use credit cards, and eventually, right, the cash would be done away with. And then you buy and sell through this mark. It could be this little tiny computer chip that can be inserted, right, into your hand or your forehead. And then when you go to the supermarket, you just present your hand. And, you know, it's foolproof, right? No thief can steal from you because everything is under your skin or the mark is on your head. And there's no wallet to steal, no money to steal from you, because all is all electronic already. So you go to the supermarket, as long as you have your hand with you, or your head. There are people who have no hands, then put the number on your head. If you have no head, you shouldn't be walking. You cannot buy and sell, right? And people want to steal from you, they'll be very stupid. How to steal? All the money on your hand, right? Chop off the hand. You cannot go and present a hand at the supermarket. Nah, cash in here and then a chop off hand and use this. Cannot. Or a head. Well, you must be living, breathing, walking with all your right bodily parts intact. If you have no hand, well, you still have your head. And then, you know, and you'll be controlled. And there'll be this Antichrist who will have knowledge about you, and he will control you, and he wants you to worship him, and you don't receive his mark, you cannot buy or sell, and he will be gunning for you if you don't worship him and you want to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who want to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ in those days will suffer a terrible and a very hard time. Now is a time of grace. Gospel is preached. Better believe now, so that when the Lord Jesus comes in the clouds, you are caught up. But if you are in the tribulation, yes, you can be saved, but you have to pay a price. You may have to pay with your life. So right now, you have this knowledge. Better make sure you apply this knowledge. Jesus is coming very soon. The wrath of God is going to come. The Antichrist will emerge. It's not a good time ahead. You want to be saved from the wrath to come. Believe right now. Today is the day of salvation. Don't wait, or else it may be too late. So let us be watchful then, and be sober, right? And here the word be watchful and be sober. Let us watch and be sober. The word watch here in the original is the word Gregoreo. Gregoreo is where we get the name Gregory. Anyone named Gregory here? Any Gregories? Well, that's the meaning of the name. You are a watcher. You're watchful. You're vigilant. Well, all of us must be a Gregory. All of us must be watchful, right? Be vigilant and be sober. Don't live a life that is careless, happy-go-lucky, right? Jumping here and there as if there's no tomorrow. Well, be sober, be wise, for they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken, right? Those who are not watchful but sleepy all the time, and never watching out for the coming of Christ to be ready, they are of the night. You are not of the night, you are of the day, children of light. They that are drunk in the night. You are not drunkards, are you? You're not drunkards. You're sober. You have your mental faculties all intact with full knowledge of Christ and His Word. And you're controlled by that knowledge and by the Spirit of God. And you're not drunk, controlled by an unholy spirit, alcoholic liquor, right? Alcoholic spirits. No, you're not drunk. We shouldn't be. The people out there in the world are of the night. They are ignorant. They are rebellious. They don't care for God or the second coming of Christ. And they are drunk. They are controlled by their lusts. And they are controlled by their sin. And we are not like this. So let us, but what must we be? To be watchful and to be sober requires us to put on the armor of God. Verse 8, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. The armor of God. And you can read a whole lot about the armor of God, the whole armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6, 14 to 17. And make sure we don't put on just the skeleton battle order, your SBO. You must put on what? Full battle order. Right? Be ready. Be fully equipped. And here we are told of the breastplate of faith and love. The breastplate. Now, the breastplate is that armor that protects your body, right? Your vital organs, your heart, for instance. The breastplate protects your heart. So this tells us how we must protect our heart. Okay, and we must protect our heart with faith and love. Has to do with the will, faith, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and being committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. The faith we must have in Him. When we believe, we must keep on believing, because Satan will attack us and cause us to doubt, cause us to be discouraged, cause us to to be depressed. And then sometimes when we feel like this, we want to give up the faith. Well, you must protect your heart from ever thinking of denying Christ or doubting Him or quitting the faith. Faith that is genuine, faith that is true, will endure. It is enduring faith. That's why Jesus in Matthew 24 says, "He who endures to the end, the same shall be saved." And this enduring speaks of faith and enduring faith, that you are very sticky, right? Very, very sticky to the Lord and to His Word. There's this stickability in you. They keep on clinging, all right, to the Lord Jesus very tightly and will never want to let Him go. Just like, you know, little babies or children, you know, they are so dependent on their mothers. They're always very sticking very close to the mother. And then when they see a pastor coming that has very big eyes, looking very fierce, you know, all the more they hold tightly to the mother, right? Cling to Him, not wanting to let her go. Well, that is the kind of faith we must have. That is protective. When we see danger that's out there, oh, we cling on tightly to our Savior and we'll never let Him go. We must protect ourselves with the breastplate of faith to keep on believing and trusting in what God says in His Word. And faith cometh by what? You want to have strong faith? The only way is to know God's Word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And the more you know God's Word, as children of light, then your light will shine brighter, your faith will increase and grow, and you become stronger and stronger in your Christian life, so that no matter what kind of arrows the devil will shoot at you to cause you to doubt, you never doubt the Lord Jesus. You always believe Him and His Word, and His Word will protect you too. And then love, right? Breastplate of faith and love. Again, love has to do with the heart. Well, we have to protect our heart with the breastplate of love. Meaning what? How we must grow in our love for God. Love, what's the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love thy neighbor as thyself. Right? The cross. And when we love God and our fellow men, neighbor, friends, as well as enemies, when we love our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, and even those who are strangers outside of Christ, we fulfill the law of God. And then we are protected. Satan wants us to be lawbreakers, but we are law keepers. And when we are law keepers, well, you know, he has no hold, no foothold in our life. And our love for God must increase and grow more and more. And that's how our heart, our feelings for God and for one another are protected, to have good and holy and right feelings. So we must do that, especially in the last days when the love of many will wax cold. Our love must be on fire for the Lord. Right? And today we are seeing the love of many waxing cold. They don't love God as much. They don't love His Word. They say His words contain mistakes. And I know of a pastor who doesn't like the doctrine of the second coming of Christ. And he reprimanded a senior pastor who talks about the second coming of Christ. Why do you keep on talking about the second coming of Christ? You're trying to scare the people. Does the second coming of Christ scare you? No, it should what? Give you great joy and delight, isn't it? Jesus is coming back. Come back soon. I'm so happy. Why should it scare you? Your loving father and your loving mother, you are at home alone, and papa and mommy coming back home. Well, you should be very glad. You should be saying, "Oh, don't come back. I want to be home alone." No, you don't want to be home alone. Oh, the love of father and mother is so good. You want them to be around. Unless you're not a child of God. Not a child of light, but a child of darkness, and the light comes, you don't like the light. You don't like the Father of lights, God Himself. So, but if you are children of the day and of the light, well, you would welcome Jesus, the light of the world. You welcome the Father of lights, your Heavenly Father who is coming for you. So guard yourself. And then the hope of salvation, which is the helmet. Now the helmet protects the head, right? The mind. So the heart must be protected. The mind also must be protected. And you will protect yourself if you have this hope. The hope of salvation. Know the doctrines of justification, sanctification, glorification. Know the doctrines of election and predestination. All these doctrines of salvation. The doctrine of the cross, the doctrine of the resurrection. How they will keep your mind. Because Satan will come with all his false teachings and heresies to tear you away from Christ. But you must fill your mind with this knowledge, good knowledge, and to keep it and protect that knowledge, to know the truth, and the truth will make you free and cause you to see as well. So put on the whole armor of God, and there's no royal road to learning. The Christian religion is a religion that is full of study. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So you must keep on studying God's word. When you finish your studies in the universities, you may throw away, sell away all your textbooks. I know law students, after they finish their first year, they sell their textbooks. They sell it away. And they are quite expensive. FEBC students, after they graduate, if they sell away their theological textbooks, we take away their degree. How can you sell away all this good knowledge and good books you have used and learned from? And you don't need them anymore. You need them. The Bible, you need them. And all the good books written about the Bible, of the Bible, that give you good doctrines, you need them. And you yourself as Christians should build a library, a good library of Christian books, academic and devotional, that you may feed your soul with it and that you may grow in the knowledge of the Lord. Be a reading Christian, a studious Christian. And I'm thankful that more and more young people, young and old people, are getting very, very interested in Bible study. That is one great encouragement to me. I believe there's a reason for FEBC's existence. Now, night classes are well attended. People are coming, they're hungry for God's word, taking for credit even. We have online courses for those who are overseas and cannot come to FEBC. For our night classes, we have online distance learning courses that you can take from where you are, right? From the country you come from. And we have an increasing enrollment too. Semester by semester, the numbers are increasing because people, when they study God's word, they enjoy it, they tell others, they spread the good word. There's something good here. You should spend time studying God's word. So I'm really thankful for that. And I'm so glad that one of the young ladies here the other night told me, I've just finished my studies in high school, I have time on my hands, can I come and study FEBC for one semester in the day classes? I say, welcome. And we have students like this, young people waiting to go to university or for national service, coming to study full time for one semester and take for credit and earn a certificate. Well, that would put them in good stead when they enter national service and go for university studies. They take God's word seriously. That's a good thing. You are becoming children of light, and you will have more and more light in you. And you see how you'll be kept and preserved by God and His truth when you grow as children of light. So please do this. And I'm glad you are here. You spend time to seek the Lord, search His word, study His truth in a conference like this. And please take advantage of every opportunity to grow in your faith. Because the time is evil. Days are evil. Things are not going to get easy. How to prepare yourself and strengthen yourself? Well, it begins right now. must go through that hard training so that when the day of battle comes, you are ready. You are ready. So may the Lord help us in this regard. Be children of light. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy word, which is truth. We know, Lord, that times ahead are not good. We are living in perilous times. There are so many dangers out there. Satan is always trying to tear us away from thee. So, Lord, keep us strong and healthy for thee through thy word, through thy truth, that we as children of light would know thy word thoroughly and be so impressed with thy truth to hide thy word in our hearts so that we will not sin against thee. And being strong and mature believers, we will be able to help others as well. So, Lord, grant us the grace. This we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please excuse me. Go for prayer meeting. But I'll see you God willing tomorrow morning. And there's a Q&A. If you have questions, please feel free to answer.